Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gig for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for $40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for in plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16, savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by Audi reward card requires online registration.
Hello, and welcome to Don't Give Up Your Daydream, Transitions in a Transitioning World. I'm your host, John Knuckle. I'm a private equity advisor, slash author, slash radio host. I would like to welcome my fellow creative professionals to Don't Give Up Your Daydream, where creativity and drive meet experience and guidance. Our goal is to introduce you to guests who have gone through major transitions in their lives or careers and have landed in a better place. All of them have kept their creativity alive and has been vital to their success. It is a thrill to have Garfield Maitland as my guest. Garfield and I met at our daughter's basketball games, and since then we've become good friends. Garfield is the perfect example of the creative people that are all around us every day. He is a master electrician who works for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, yet you have probably heard his voice or seen his face. We'll be back with Garfield to explain after these brief words.
With football season in full swing, fans across the country flock to stadiums each weekend, taking part in the cherished American tradition of tailgating. However, all the time and effort that some fans put into preparing their tailgating food can take a heavy toll on their energy levels. That's one reason why renowned sports nutritionist Leslie Bonsi suggests adding some of what she calls an all-natural energy booster, honey.
One of the best things about honey is that it is a very, very quick, easy, digestible food item that provides the sweetness. You don't have to use a lot of it, and it gives that nice little zip. So we could put honey in a barbecue sauce. We could actually add honey to a yogurt and use it as a dip. We could even use a little bit of honey to grill that chicken or grill those vegetables for all those people that are tailgating. So we get that nice little sweet going on, as well as providing the enhanced flavor to those things that we're eating and have the benefit of having some energy in our body sooner than later.
For more information, including over 1,800 recipes, visit honey.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Don't Give Up Your Daydream, Transitions in the Transitioning World. I'm your host, John Knuckle. Well, we've waited long enough. Now it's time for us to speak to my good friend, Mr. Garfield Maitland. How are you, Garfield?
Doing great, John. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Now, I sort of teased the listeners a little bit. What exactly is it that you do in addition to your work as an electrician?
Well, I am a day player in the fascinating world of radio and television voiceovers. That'd be commercials, promos, tags, bumpers, all kinds of different, I guess what we would actually call them nicknames for different things that you hear on radio and on television every day. But it takes a talented group of people to kind of give the, I guess, the life and, you know, the breadth of what we actually hear in between our favorite shows and the different things that we listen to every day.
Now, in addition to a number of terms that you use that I don't understand, what do you mean by day player? Let's start with that. What do you mean
by
day player?
Well, day player in the sense that an active participant. One of the things that always kind of wanted to do, you know, it's a creative side. I think a creative side of me always found myself imitating, you know, turning myself into someone else. And radio and television voiceovers, I think, you know, they give you that opportunity to become someone else, you know, drop of a dime, spur of the moment, you know. And sometimes only for just a snippet. Sometimes they need someone to be someone else or for just 10 seconds, you know. You know, to convey the idea of being a construction worker for 10 seconds, you know, for 15 seconds.
Yeah. So, that would take a lot of imagination in addition to a golden voice, huh?
And, yes, the voice helps.
Yeah. So how did you get started? How does one start? I mean, everyone listens to the voiceovers, and you try to figure out who it is and you know, the famous movie promos. But how does one get started doing this?
My start, John, actually kind of came, interestingly, and it wasn't voiceover. It kind of transitioned from commercials. I one day saw an ad kind of running around with my brother, who actually was a model. And very often, a lot of times, people say, hey, you know, you have a good speaking voice. You know, you should do commercials. And there used to be this guy, actually. His name was Bob Collier, who used to give this 30-day kind of crash course down in Manhattan in commercials. So I did take the course, very simple, you know, just to kind of go there. And then his whole thing was, you know, you had to actually start with the whole pictures, resumes, mailing things out so that you begin to get yourself in the actual agent's, you know, crosshairs, so to speak. You have to kind of put yourself in that. So that's one of the things that I did. I kind of started out really beginning to do more kind of print stuff because I was tall, still am. And I found myself actually doing a lot of sports ads, sometimes parts modeling, that type of thing.
But now, how did you know? I mean, you mentioned you use a phrase that it seems like an old phrase now. I guess now everybody does everything online. But you mentioned a phrase, stuffing envelopes. You said you stuffed a lot of envelopes.
Because
I want the listeners to hear, you know, what it really takes. You know.
Well, this goes back to that kind of, you know, I'm not going to say the golden age of Hollywood, but there was a time when there was really what was considered a black and white glossy. Saw tons of, you know. So what you basically do is you go, you go to a studio, and there was a very popular studio right down on 46th Street in Manhattan, Kriegsman Studios. I got my headshots done there, and it basically is a black and white glossy. And once you do that, you take that glossy, and now you start the very arduous task of getting those 8x10 glossies mailed out. So you're basically going and you're ordering a batch, maybe 200 of duplicates, and you now have to get them into kind of like a 9x12 envelope with a, you know, a pretty basic resume about yourself, and you got to mail it out to agents. I mean, can you imagine walking into Staples, and of course at the time, obviously, you know, just the early days of Staples maybe, but you're walking in there and saying, listen, I want 200, you know, 9x11 manila envelopes. And you literally are going to hand stuff, you know, your 8x10 glossy, which is then stapled onto the back of a resume, and you're going to mail them out. And you would get these lists that would have all of the agents, sometimes, you know, the New York City agents and then the L.A. agents, but you'd mail them out. And you'd literally mail them out kind of really expecting, you know, like, wow, you know, I'm going to, you know, eventually hear from, you know, maybe one of these agents. Are they going to like my picture or are they going to think there's something that they see?
Yeah, it's going to happen overnight. So, I remember, you know, I told this story, I think on one of my other shows where I read there's an author, I don't even know which one, but you know, she said they wrote where she was turned down 137 times, and then finally, I was thinking to myself, man, I would love to get turned down 137 times. That means 137 people actually responded.
Yes, it's and you literally do kind of, you know, you mail them out. You know, you're not going to hear anything like the next day or a week later, but you're kind of hoping in your heart of hearts, of course, that you do. But you know, it's going to be a little bit of time before you actually hear anything, and then. But you're hoping that you know you will, you know, you'll get something, you know, hear something in your phone or whatever saying, you know, hey, listen, we liked your picture or whatever. And of course that did actually happen, but it takes a while. It takes a while because your pictures go into kind of like this this big circle. I mean, obviously they have to get posted, and then they have to go to the agent, and then you get kind of put on the table behind all of the other pictures that are sitting there.
And then killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Worked with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
With football season in full swing, fans across the country flock to stadiums each weekend, taking part in the cherished American tradition of tailgating. However, all the time and effort that some fans put into preparing their tailgating food can take a heavy toll on their energy levels. That's one reason why renowned sports nutritionist Leslie Bonsi suggests adding some of what she calls an all-natural energy booster, honey.
One of the best yogurt and use it as a dip. We could even use a little bit of honey to grill that chicken or grill those vegetables for all those people that are tailgating. So we get that nice little sweet going on, as well as providing the enhanced flavor to those things that we're eating and have the benefit of having some energy in our body sooner than later.
For more information, including over 1,800 recipes, visit honey.com.
Hello, I believe we're back. This is John Knuckle with Don't Give Up Your Daydream. Now, Garfield, being the experienced radio and broadcast person, I think he decided to challenge me and see if I could tap dance. Work, and I think you told me about, you know, you have a really good story about a famous basketball player. Put it that way. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
We'll hear again.
Well, you know, ended up hearing from an agent, and was able to do some went out on some auditions with this particular agent, and actually ended up with a booking. And the booking was I was going to be a stand-in, course, at that time, I didn't know what a stand-in was, but I was nonetheless, so what I actually found out was that I was going to be going to Drexel University in Philly, and uh-huh. I was going to be the stand-in for one of my heroes, Julius Erving. I was going to, here I was, this guy, 6'6", but I was going to be used in a commercial. Julius Erving owned some Coca-Cola dealerships.
Okay.
And I was going to be his stand-in. In other words, while they set lights and cameras and different things, I was going to be his stand-in.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can imagine how I felt when I was there I was in Penn Station meeting the other actor that was going to be the – he was the actual principal in the commercial. And there we were headed down to Philly for an overnight stay. And on the weekend, we were going to be filming this commercial in at Drexel University in the gym. I was going to meet Julius Erving.
Now, you didn't have to guard him.
Obviously, totally ecstatic.
Did you have to guard him?
No, I didn't have to guard him. I mean, but I can't tell you what type of, when people speak about, Julius, the doctor, I can tell you firsthand, what a classy man this guy is. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, I was supposed to be his stand-in and, literally found myself kind of, he's supposed to be in his trailer, so to speak. Half the time he's out, he's talking to people on the set, different things like that. Didn't really see himself as, above or, anybody else that was around on the set. But it was my first time on a commercial set. Learning all the terms. Oh, what's an AD? Oh, the AD is the assistant director. He's the guy that's going to actually sign your, So all of that and, the fascination with, this is actually a union job, and the finding out about the Screen Actors Guild and what that meant and, how you actually go about literally getting your Screen Actors Guild card. All of it was just so new, so fascinating, so, and I thought of myself just as like a kid in a candy store. This is some crazy industry, so different from the industry I was accustomed to, which is, again, I was, the trade, electrical tools, blueprints, just so different, even the people, that are, again, you find yourself around tradespeople, you find yourself around carpenters, you find yourself around tin knockers, you find yourself around, different tradespeople. Yeah. Whereas now I'm like around people that are actual actors, directors.
Now, when you first started out and you worked in as an electrician and trying to get this up and running and doing the commercial work and the voiceover, I'm sure you put in long hours and you were doing things at night and on weekends. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this was just where you literally found yourself, my dad, to this day, God bless him, he's going to be 90. But he, he always encouraged me, learn a trade, you'll always be able to, support yourself. So I didn't look down on, the thought of having a trade, being an electrician. I actually always wanted to get my license, but I was always kind of fascinated with, the different things that, that revolve around, so to speak, this other world that I was discovering. Now you find yourself, I would actually find myself sometimes, lunchtime, I can actually send out 15, pictures and resumes. So, you find yourself taking your material, bringing my stuff, to work. There I am with my envelopes, people and the guys were like so curious, but they thought it was fascinating too. Like, why is this guy, he's making money as an electrician. Why is he like so, that in and of itself, when you come home.
And the guys aren't going to bust on you too much since you're like 6'6 and in good shape, That helps.
Well, they kind of look at it and they say, you know, as a, you, kind of figured you're an electrician, you kind of, you know, able to handle yourself, this and that. But then they look and you're talking about, you know, acting, you know, it's like such a far cry from the trade world, you know.
I'll bet.
But then that's part of the fascination. You know, you begin to see a different world, and it's attractive. You're like, wow, you know, this is different, you know. And at the time, again, you know, it's commercial acting at the time. It wasn't even, you know, people that actually went to Juilliard to study music. I mean,
you go to different places
to study acting.
Well, speaking of that, it's like having a niche and having a way about yourself. I know you told me you did something for Len Berman, the sportscaster. What was that again?
Yeah, I think this was a booking that I got. It was actually NBC, and I remember that this was in the very early days of what they actually today call Chroma Key. And Len Berman was the guy that used to do, in his sports broadcast, he used to do this thing, Let's Go Spanning the Globe. NBC did a commercial, which they actually filmed right downtown in the village, and they actually did it against a handball court. So they were looking for a young, you know, guy that, you know, played hoops, kind of looked like a neighborhood guy, you know, and I ended up booking the job. So they actually show me coming into a playground, and I would actually, using a basketball, by bouncing the ball against the handball court wall, which now became the chroma key screen, time I would bounce the ball into the wall, that screen would change to some of these distant places that Len Berman was talking about in his introduction. I believe this was one of the very first very popular Chroma Key commercials where they can literally blank, and in this case they blanked out the handball court that became the screen. And I can't tell you how fascinated and how excited I was at the time to be the young actor, you know, the basketball player going into the handball court, you know, to do that. It was really incredible. And then, of course, you know, to have that commercial with Len Berman's voice in the background, you know, Let's Go Spanning the Globe, you know, incredible.
Yeah, it's really good. So now you're this young athletic guy. You're able to do these you know, fitness things, and I think you've done ads for a lot of different athletic things. But when did the younger guys come along and start taking those ads? you know what I mean?
What actually happened, where, you know, this thing kind of took a very distinct turn, was when I began to realize that I would go on commercial auditions. I would sometimes, you even get auditions for sometimes what they call five on fives, where you actually have under five lines or five words, sometimes even in soap operas. What happened was I began to find that I would book jobs, but then I didn't get the job, which means that, you know, someone said, yeah, let's use this guy, but then when the decision actually has to be made, someone else would. And I turned around and I started to ask some questions, and I realized I was getting sized out. In other words, at 6'6", a lot of times you're taller than everybody else that's going to be in that commercial or in that scene, so they can't use you. So that's when everything kind of started to narrow down, where I found myself doing specifically sports-oriented stuff. And that's when someone kind of, you know, like that guy, the heckler in the back of the movie theater, yells out, you know, hey, you got a pretty good voice. You should do voiceover.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like where some of the agents started to say, hey, you know, exactly. You got a nice voice. Why don't you try voiceover? And that was the door. That was the door.
Wow. So, all right. We want to get into that. I want to hear, we're going to have a little bit of your work during the show. So I think we're going to go for a commercial break. And then out of the commercial, you folks are going to hear Garfield. And then we'll chat again. So here we go. We're heading off to commercial.
Okay.
Okay. video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords exposed cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
We're all familiar with footage of hordes of paparazzi chasing a celebrity for a quick glimpse of their real-life persona. And the Mastercraft X-Star is like that celebrity, taking all the attention and all the infatuation gracefully in stride. No other boat on the water anywhere on the planet has such a fan following, or is so worthy of the praise. The X-Star is everything you could possibly want in a wakeboard boat. Cool, fast, spacious, with world-renowned wakes revered for their consistency, smooth approach, thick launch pads, and soft peaks. That's why it's won Writers' Choice Awards for an amazing 7 years in a row. It's pulled more world champions and official 1080s than any other boat. It's complete with an optional zero-flex 5P tower and your choice of paparazzi.
Man, that was smooth, man. You're a smooth guy, Garfield. You're like a taller, better looking James Earl Jones. How about that? No, that's very nice. Tell me about that. How does an ad like that come together? I think people would love to hear, like, are you in a studio? Or how does it all work? How did that all come together?
Well, that particular ad, is the production company is on the West Coast, and the voiceover is actually from the East Coast. What most voice guys do, and I should say voice women do, we're called voices. We operate usually out of a studio.
So you record on the East Coast for something that gets put together on the West Coast?
Yeah, certainly. A lot of times, you know, you're the voice. You're going to record to a studio where they're going to put it together. They're going to put the music. They're going to put the sound effects. And you can do this with the wonders of communication. Like I had mentioned, sometimes voice over IP, sometimes ISDN, sometimes a simple MP3 file that gets sent. All of these different methods are kind of the communication to the production house. So in that particular case with that Mastercraft app ad, I was actually at home, in my studio at home, and we did that via ISDN to a studio on the West Coast.
Okay. Well, that's very cool. Now, where did that run? Where does that run? Do you get to keep track of where it runs, or do you get compensated based on how many times it runs? Like, how does that all work?
Yeah, that actually, depending on, in this particular case, Mastercraft is a worldwide company, and it's an international company. So a lot of times the actual compensation is going to be bought out. It's a very, you know, distinct product. So they might use it. In this particular case, what they were doing is they use this on their DVD. And Mastercraft actually, every year they come out with a DVD because, again, every year they come out with different boats. So this particular ad was going to be on their DVD for the different styles of boats that they have. So they'll have the X-Star, they'll have the X-55. This was going to be associated with that X-Star line of boats. And it was going to be on their actual DVD that they give out to clients at trade shows. And yeah, this that ad in particular was on what they used to call their rewind video. So I remember actually being very, very happy when I actually had the privilege of doing that rewind video 3 years in a row, 2010 through 2012. That was, you know, the voice of, you know, not the overall voice of Mastercraft, but of that rewind video.
Well, that's good. Now, have you ever had, this may sound strange, but have you ever had a time where you're driving in your car or you're watching TV or something and you go, hey, wait a second, that's me. Has that ever happened?
Well, I will tell you that one of the things that I, one of the reasons why kind of, you know, you persist at something is because when I first started out, you know, and you, yeah, this is great, you know, the one genre that everybody talks about, even to this day, is trailers, because people are so fascinated with trailers. They announce our movies. They get us into our movies. I mean, some people go and sit in a movie theater 45 minutes before the movie starts so they can watch trailers.
Yeah,
I actually
have just trailers. Yeah, there's a show. Yeah.
Sure. They're a big part now of digital production. I actually remember kind of making a little bit of a vow to myself that I wanted to do this. One of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to be sitting in a movie theater and hear my voice booming in the movie theater. So that's one of my goals. And I would have to think that with some of the stuff that I've done recently, that I'm not too far away from that.
Oh, good. Oh, that would be great. That really would be great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you told me there was a thing, and this is part of, you know, how difficult it is to really get the, you know, people hear the finished product or they see an ad or a print ad with you, but they don't, most people don't know that, you know, you're schlepping downtown or you're driving in your car or you're doing something at midnight. What happened to you during the tree lighting at Rockefeller Center?
Yeah, actually, on a recent audition, because, again, you do audition, you go down and you know, but this was actually an audition that I, you know, actually ended up booking, which was great. But I actually ended up getting stuck. You know, it was actually the day of the tree lighting ceremony. And here you find yourself down around, I don't know, Washington Square Park, 14th Street in that area, and you're saying to yourself, well, now I'm going to head home. You're always kind of upbeat after an audition if you feel you had a really good shot, you know. And sure enough, I head north going uptown, and I completely veg and forget, oh, my goodness, you know, this is the tree lighting ceremony. So here I am kind of stuck. I mean, stuck from down in the 30s. Makes no sense to try to go west, you know, at that point, to go east. You're just in a throng of people, you know, that weren't smart enough to use mass transit.
Yeah, like yourself.
And there I am, stuck, trying to go north and to literally, you know, get through the tree lighting ceremony crowd of people coming down into the city. Yeah, and at that point, all you do is you turn on the music. You hope that you have plenty of gas in the car, and you sit and wait it out. You know.
That's
all you can do.
I avoid that town from like now until I'd say February.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you made this nice, smooth transition. You know, and it seems smooth, obviously. Because you're so smooth. But I mean, you know, you go from doing print ads and you know, it must have taken a couple years to get this up and running, to get people to listen to you, to learn this new craft. What is really the process?
Well, I think once you kind of commit to the voice side of commercials, and you begin to call yourself a voice actor, you do have to you've got to study the craft of becoming a voice actor. You've got to learn you know, the very simple things about how to avoid plosives. You know, you standing usually behind a microphone that costs more than, you know, the national debt And you got to learn how to speak into it so that you don't, you know, overload the microphone. You got to learn when you see copy, how to interpret the copy. There are times when, you know, that is good. That's going to be completely on you. You're not going to have someone sit down with you and say, well, this, they're going to basically tell you what they're looking for. But in most cases, you're going to have to interpret the copy. So that
they send you copy and you audit. In other words, you say, you determine what the inflection's going to be, what words you're going to lean on, the emotion you're going to put into it. You determine all of that.
I would definitely say yes, because once you step into the booth to audition, all of those choices are your choices, and all of those are going to either enhance the copy or, you know, take away from it. You're trying to make what that creative director, or you're trying to make their copy live, you know. To them, it's words on a paper or a piece of paper. You're trying to make that copy live. And when they hear it, they know it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. When they hear
the... It's really not like a reading. It's really your reading, isn't it?
It is your reading. It's your life experience that actually reads. It's what you bring to it. Do you bring to it your trade experience, you know, as an electrician? You do get a little bit of help in that your casting person is going to kind of, they're going to help you by saying, yeah, we're looking for a tradesperson type, you know, rough, you know, maybe the edgy voice. They'll give you a little bit of help that way.
But then
once you are in the arena, so to speak, which I always think of the actual booth as the arena. You're in the arena. All of those choices you make, you know, are you going to go through it, you know, with the bold, authoritative, deep voice? Are you going to go through it with a character voice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of your life experience manifests itself in the read. You make those choices. You make the turns. You say, yeah, this is going to work. No, this is not going to work. And it, you know, then it gets
harder than it sounds. It's a lot harder than it seems, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's a very competitive arena. There are a lot of people in the arena, but then at the same time, there's a place for everyone. You know, my voice isn't going to fit your typical, you know.
Yeah.
Announcer, if you will. They've really tried to get away from that voice. They really like a lot more of the, you know, you and me talking kind of like maybe, you know, at a meeting, you know, and just kind of under the actual din of the restaurant, you know, very conversational. The traditional announcer that you might have heard years ago, they really shy away from
the voice of God. They're getting away from the voice of God.
When they need the voice of God, they know the guys to go to.
Yeah. All right. That's,
you know.
So if we could, that's what I would love to do. I want to share some of your notable work, and you know, let everyone hear some of the experts of your work. You know, over the last couple of years, I hope we have that ready, and we're going to play a demo of some of Garfield's work. Here we go.
Welcome to the Isle of Capri Casino, a lush tropical paradise where sensational service and hot casino action are no fantasy. Providing you with aisle-style service is our number one priority. Suffering from a lack of flexibility at your current job? At First Premier, we believe it's the little things that matter, like a flexible work schedule. We understand the importance of flexibility and have a variety. Imagine a Nebraska company that attracts some of the top scientists in the world to our state. A company that helps the local farmer, rancher, teacher, and doctor. To unlock all the Isle has to offer, get a free Island Gold Card. And remember to use it whenever you play table games or slots. It's one of the richest members clubs in the South. I will know you think frogs are neat. And when you giggle too much, you get hiccups. I'll remember even cowpokes need hugs. Loyalty. honor, courage, commitment. Values they don't get in Montgomery. Values we expect from a Marine like Joe.
Wow, that was all over the map, huh? You got a lot of work.
Yeah, that's what we call a compilation.
Wow. So and I could see what you were talking about, how some are slow and mellow, some you're picking up the pace a little bit, you have a little bit of an accent in some. That's very cool.
Yeah, that was actually hearing it kind of it's nice to reminisce and hear some of those spots. You just turn around, you say, "Wow," you know, you think to yourself, what you were actually, you know, what you were doing, so to speak, what you were involved in at the time. It's great.
Now you are, I guess now you're with the talent agency and all that. That's what helps book your work. But before then, were you just, you know, I guess if you're an independent, I'm wondering how you started booking these jobs. Is it one of those catch-22s where you have to work to get an agent kind of thing?
Certainly is. There probably is no better, you know, scenario than describing it as the chicken and the egg, because obviously without work, how do you get experience? And, you know, if you don't have experience, how do you, you know? It definitely is. I would definitely say one of the things that you usually do is fake it till you make it, you know. And everybody has to do that to some extent. But, yeah, I freelanced for quite a while. And you enjoy freelancing because it doesn't tie you specifically to one agent that's now trying to get you out there. So you can learn a little bit about all of the different agents. But then sooner or later, agents begin to call you, you know, and you get that repeat business, so to speak. Then you kind of like on four or five people's register, and you find yourself narrowed down to four or five agents that call you. And then, you know, I was very, very happy about 2 years ago. I was able to lock down with one agent that thought, yeah, he has enough range for us to be able to use him for different things. But in truth, agents really, they like someone that has a signature, you know, that has a particular calling card. Because they can then put you in, you know, we know he can do this. You know, we know we'll be able to book him for this. And I was able to book to kind of lock down with Atlas Talent in New York, and they work both coasts, West Coast and East Coast. So sometimes I'll be, you know, in the evening, you know, say 6-7 o'clock, when, you know, you would tend to think, oh, everything's winding down, and you begin to get auditions for promos and bumpers from the West Coast. You know, and that's actually a lot of fun, because then you kind of, oh, wow, this is next wave of the day's work, so to speak.
Now, you know, I mean, now that, you know, we hear this and you seem so polished and it seems that your career is really, you know, running along. I know, because I know you shared with me, and everyone knows this, every creative person knows this, about all the rejection, all the times being turned down, all the times you don't feel like, you know, people don't think you're right for it. I love your take on it when I first asked you. I was hoping you could share that with our listeners.
Yeah, you know, with in particular with voiceover, very rarely when you listen to the radio, you listen to the television, watch the television, I should say, do you kind of think, wow, that guy didn't sound like he should have been doing that ad. And that's really because usually they do have the people in the right place with the right voice for different things. So in this arena, rejection isn't a good word. You find yourself trying to get your technique polished so that you're attractive, and you're not making the kind of mistakes that, so to speak, that a newbie might make. That's going to make you more attractive. But rejection is not the word. your voice may not fit the project. It may not fit. You know, obviously, when they're looking to studios spend a massive amount of money to to promote films. So
yeah.
They're going to make sure that whoever actually does that trailer or who does that promo, they're going to make sure that that's the person for the job. So what you actually try to do is develop your own technique so that your technique becomes polished and it becomes attractive. And at some point, someone's going to like your technique. So
yeah.
I never looked at it as rejection. I always know exactly what I'm going to feel like kind of in that elevator when I'm headed downstairs away from that audition. I always know I'm going to say to myself, well, I think I had a good shot at that because you can feel that, you know, your voice was the one that might actually now
be right
for that project. So rejection in that
view, it's just if you're set with the right project, that is the way it's going to be.
Absolutely. So a lot of that has to do with the casting, with your agent sending you out on stuff that you're actually really right for. Rejection, like I said, once you begin to establish yourself and your confidence in what you can actually do, you don't really feel like you're being rejected. You know, you feel like you're just waiting for that opportunity where your job actually, your voice actually fits the job. You know, this is what they need.
That's good. I like that. Now I'm going to ask a question I always ask every single guest, and that is, why you? Now, why did you send all these envelopes and drive down and spend all this time and spend all these many, many hours before you really got up and running? Why did you persist when so many people give up?
I think, a very simple way, kind of the answer to that, John, is success. You know, a lot of people use that kind of analogy. You know, success is not, you know, a place that you get to and sit down. I enjoy the journey. I really enjoy the journey. I kind of tell my daughters that success is not some place you get to and sit down. It's some place that you journey, and that's the success. The success is the journey. So I enjoyed the whole going all the way back to stuffing envelopes and, you know, having to, you know, sometimes, you know, if you think about it, sometimes I actually, when they actually want me to come down and to say, oh, yeah, there's an audition, and this is the address, blah, 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 blah. If you realize it, you know, you actually get in your car or you get on the train, you go all the way down into Manhattan in you know, most cases, you know, and you literally walk into a booth for 30 seconds, for a minute.
Wow.
The actual audition is 30 seconds or a minute, but that's the success. That's the work. You know, the actual taping, I mean, what's the worst that could go wrong when you're actually taping a voiceover? You know, you get a frog in your throat, maybe. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
It's so when you ask why me, I basically just say it's because I like the journey. I really enjoy the journey. And
see, that's good because that is a good example, a good recipe for continued success. I just saw something recently where someone who's a successful artist, successful rock star, and he received this big check and he was so proud, and he brings it to his mother, who's still like from the old country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at the check, she places it down, she looks at him, says, "So what now?" Like, so what are you going to do now? You know? I mean, are you going to just sit home? You know, it really is true.
Absolutely. That journey, you know, that you know, we're kind of remembering the different places, different things that you had to do. Why me. That's probably the simplest and, you know, the easiest way to answer that question. It's because I do really enjoy the journey.
I do say that to people. You know, people have asked me, so many times. But the number one question I get is people say, I want to write a book, and how do you do it? You know, how do you write a book? And, you know, the short answer is always, you know, just start writing. Because as you start writing, you'll start
yeah.
to get more involved and more interested. But a lot of it is, you know, in the way that you put it, is enjoying the journey. It is just, you know, I'm sure you have great memories of going on audition. I mean, you know, my goodness, you met Dr. J. I mean, come on.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, also, I would tend to think that another part of it would be that, you know, we live very close to arguably the greatest city in the world. So, you know,
uh-huh.
heading into the city for an audition is always like, you know, the bright lights in the big city, you know. So being a part of the industry, so to speak, you know, hearing your voice in one particular case on a show. Right now, I'm involved in a show that's on Stars, and
wow.
It's a show that is kind of taken, you know, it's filmed in New York. It's a show that it's a New York show, and I'm actually the voice doing the promo for that show. And people talk about power, you know,
yeah.
It's like, wow, you know, it's a New York show. So I mean, things like that are just you know, how can you beat it? You know,
so you're still starry-eyed. You still haven't gotten. You're not immune to the fun and the excitement of it all.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's you know, hearing sometimes your voice. You know, one of the things that jobs that I get to do each year is it's around Black History Month, and it's on PBS. And being, you know, PBS was one of the stations my mom actually loved, you know, growing up.
Yeah,
you know, Channel
yeah,
13,
yeah.
you know, you got to watch yeah. Channel 13, you know,
yeah,
WNET.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, you know, to actually, you know, do previews and stuff like that on PBS. It's a load of fun. It's a load of fun.
That's great. Okay, why don't you let us know, let our listeners know where they can find you and you know, so what your website? Where
sure.
Where can people
Off the yeah, I'm represented by Atlas Talent Agency. They're down in the big city. They're on 32nd Street in New York City. Certainly, my website, which actually is my name, that's www.garfieldmaitland.com, and that's all one word. And yeah, Atlas Talent Agency, with representation on both coasts, is a very easy way to reach me.
And I'll tell the listeners, I've been on your site. It's you could hang out there for a while and just listen. Okay, Garfield, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I do.
Oh, John, it's my pleasure.
Words. Oh, yeah, it's always great. And for the listeners, you're going to hear a little more of Garfield near the very end. But I do have some closing words I want to share with you people. You know, Garfield has a unique and very positive view about rejection. Let's face it, if you want to be a creative person, you will be rejected. There's no avoiding it. How you deal with it is one of the keys to success. My books have been reviewed, of course. My second book, Grit, has received 8 five-star reviews and 1 one-star review. But it's the one-star review that I look back at the most. Here it is. It's short, but it's nasty. Terrible read, could not finish, threw book away. Threw it away. Man, that's harsh. Like, who throws away a book? Now, it may seem crazy to you, but when I first read that review, I laughed out loud. And as you can tell, I'm still laughing. Because I know that you can't please everyone. Sometimes what you do will turn people off. Hey, I once heard Frank Sinatra referred to as an overrated hack. And there was recently a long piece written about The Great Gatsby, not the movie, the book, criticizing it. So criticism and rejection are just part of the game. I don't spend much time thinking about it. I'm too busy creating. There's a quote by Teddy Roosevelt that I read just about every morning. It keeps me focused. Here it is. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat. So please, my listeners, continue to dare greatly. Never join those cold and timid souls, and don't ever give up your daydream. If you would like, you can visit my website, which is johnnuckel.com, johnnuckel.com, and you can see me at don'tgiveupyourdaydream.webs.com. And for everyone who has already registered, or if you register before the end of the year, send me your address, and you'll receive a free gift from me in January of 2016 to start off your year on a positive note. Thank you all, and be well.
This message brought to you by FEMA. Fire is everyone's fight. We all have a role to play in making sure fires don't start. That's why the USFA invites you to join Fire is Everyone's Fight, to protect you and your family from the dangers of fire. A home fire is your most dangerous fire threat. Home fires kill and injure 16,000 Americans annually, and the leading cause of these fires is from cooking. So when you cook, avoid wearing loose clothing. Keep anything that can catch fire away from cooking surfaces. Turn pot handles in, and around cooking areas, maintain a 3-foot kid-free zone. Smoke alarms can make the difference between life and death. Install them inside and outside sleeping areas and on all levels of your home. Alarms with long-life batteries are best. Change others every year. Test alarms monthly and replace smoke alarms that are more than 10 years old. Every second counts, so prepare and practice a home fire drill with your family. Learn more at www.usfa.fema.gov.
For eligible plans, offer ends 1/7/16/72/1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.